You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation now revealed in you our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. He didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus, what a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, they tore before you. Most powerful name. Thank you. Good morning. Good to see everybody today. Beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning and a beautiful week that is forecast. Certainly much better than last Sunday morning. Excuse me. It's good to see all of you here. Some announcements, of course, that I have to go over before we continue on with our service. The Cherub Choir, the three-year-old through third graders, just make sure parents you're seeing when they're singing coming up on the 27th of March, junior choir, fourth through eighth graders. They'll be singing on April 3rd, so make sure you're aware of those times. The Family Fun event is going to be this afternoon as well down at Yankton. We'll meet there at the bowling alley at 3 o'clock. You see the prices for the bowling that's in the bulletin. You'll pay Melanie Walter down there when you're finished. Goodness. And then she'll pay the bowling alley. That's how they prefer to have it done. Then if you want to join us for supper at Pizza Ranch after that, you're more than welcome to do that. Let's see, where's Mark Kuthmiller? Are you here? Do they need to tell him that we're with the church at the Pizza Ranch or not? Just as well? Okay, yeah. Sometimes they've given us the drink as a discount or something there. Okay. I want to say thanks. There were several people that helped. We started on the balcony flooring up there this week, and they worked Friday and yesterday into the evening, I don't know, 8 o'clock or later for sure. So we got this hallway and the one classroom done, and then the balcony itself is yet to be done. So it's coming along. Thanks to everybody that has helped on that. There's a couple things happening, too, with the Alpha Center. There's a Sioux Empire's largest baby shower, as they call it. That's in the bulletin. There's items that they're looking for. So take a glance through that. Also, the FCCLA here at Menno is doing a drive for the Bethany Food Pantry. Please read that. That's on the insert. They're not really looking for food items this time. They are looking more for, as it says, laundry detergent, toothpaste, toothbrushes, coffee, Kleenex. There's a list of things in there. Also, the for the cantata, which is Palm Sunday evening, Amber Bradley, maybe you know her, knew her as Amber Melhoff, she's done this a few years back where she got together a children's choir that will sing on that night of the cantata when the offering is being received. So that's for children that are in third grade through eighth grade, and they'll be practicing mostly here in our sanctuary after church about noon. So if you got kids that want to sing, and we hope you do in that, then they can hang around for that practice. I have no idea how long it's going to take. You'll have to ask Amber about that. Last thing I believe that I need to mention is regarding the kitchen countertops. Just real quick, we discussed it at the annual meeting. The women have been working on this, the consistory as well. So the consistory made the decision this last week at our meeting to go forward on the countertops, not on the cabinets. That was brought up at annual meeting too. Just felt not to do that. So the countertops were moving forward. The reason I'm saying that is mostly for the ladies, not that the men can't look, they can, but there are samples in the kitchen against the north wall there of different colors for the new countertops. So ladies, you can look at that, guys too, but mainly the ladies, if you want to have input on the color, then you need to be at the meeting on the 27th of March, the Women of the Church meeting, after church that day. If you don't care, whatever, maybe you care, it's not the right way to say it. If you're not at the meeting, then zip it, how about that? With the color that's chosen. That's the simplest way I can say it. Okay? So, there we go. All right, there's other announcements for you to read as you have time. Let us bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, what a glorious day it is. And we are, as always, excited to be here. As we've sung your praises there, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. In your name, Jesus, is all power and authority and might and mercy. And you've given us the privilege to use your name in prayer. How incredible that is. And so as we gather this day, we come before your throne, Lord God Almighty, through the blood of Jesus Christ. It is only through the shed blood of Christ that cleanses us, Father, that you even allow us to come into your presence as you have clothed us in the robe of righteousness. And we thank you for that. Lord, as we celebrate you, for you are the reason we are here, Jesus. You are our King, our Lord, and our Savior, and our Master. We humble ourselves before you this day and under your mighty hand. And we thank you for filling our lives with the Holy Spirit of God, for filling this sanctuary with your glory and your power as you move among us in majesty and greatness. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 297. Now, you might think, Pastor Mike, it is not Palm Sunday. And I realize it's not Palm Sunday, because this is the one we sing on Palm Sunday. But that's where we're going to be in our text, walking up to Jerusalem. So we'll sing it again on Palm Sunday, I'm sure, but we're going to sing it today. Let's stand. 297. Was a good warm-up for Palm Sunday. That second verse, it says that ancient song we sing, and that is coming from Psalm 118, Hosanna. So take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you are seated. Okay, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns. I'll start with some joys. First, this last week on Wednesday was Idella Herbolt's 99th birthday, and that would be Lee's mom, and she's in our care center. So we missed it last week of getting it announced, but if you wanted to send her a card, there would be still time to do that. Okay, all right. Otherwise, just some other things. If you're on the prayer chain, you probably know this, but Pat Palmerville's husband, Lee, passed away early this last Thursday morning. Pat's with us here today. Certainly our prayers are with you and all the family. And his
Memorial service is going to be here on this coming Tuesday afternoon. It's at 3 o'clock, okay? And we'll have cookies and cake and bars or something afterward in the social hall. So please be remembering them in your prayers. Also, I was asked to announce, a lot of you remember Pastor Joe Brinks when he served up at Peace Christian Reformed for a few years anyway, 5 or 6-ish. And he had had prostate cancer even when he was here or before, somewhere in that time. But he passed away this last week on Tuesday, and his funeral will be up in Michigan tomorrow morning. Grandville, Michigan is what I was told. So his wife is Linda. Maybe a lot of you got to know her. Just be praying for their family. There's a young mother in Parkston. Actually, we prayed for her yesterday. We were up there at a seminar at the church, and then I had a text last night from a connection in our church. This lady, I only know her first name. Her name is Liana, and she had been battling colon cancer, and then it spread to her liver. She's in Cincinnati, Ohio, and had a liver transplant yesterday. She has 4 children and, of course, her husband. It sounds like there'll be a lengthy stay at this place in Cincinnati. So be praying for her. Liana is her name. One other thing. Jim and Deb Christensen, their nephew Eric, he's the one that passed away from COVID last year. He has a son named Cameron who's been in the army in Germany. And just within the last month, he was transferred to Slovakia, which is on the border of Ukraine. So prayers for him and prayers for all of that situation over there. Anything else over here? Lee.
Pray for families out there hurting for the prices of oil and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, prayers for all with the price of gas where it is and probably going higher, and that affects everything else. Yeah, absolutely. Amy.
Ellie's going to be turning 13 on Saturday.
Ellie Fisher's 13th birthday is coming on Saturday. Happy birthday to you, Ellie. Yeah, Deb.
Logan will be celebrating his 20th birthday with his Navy buddies.
Okay, Logan Schmidt will be celebrating his 20th birthday with his Navy buddies on Tuesday down in San Antonio, right? Okay, and continued prayers for Logan. Anybody else on this? Let's see. Emmalyn. Sorry, then I'll come up there. Emmalyn. Who's? Landon. Heck and Libel's birthday is on Thursday. All right. Happy birthday, Landon. Jamie. Star Kasurik turns 18 on Tuesday. Okay. Oh, Grace. Yeah. Grace Heck and Libel will be 3 on Saturday. Happy birthday. Oh, Melanie. Jaden Bent was 6 on Tuesday. Lots of birthdays, I tell you what. Carl?
Linda had a birthday Saturday.
Linda Zabe's birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday, Linda. Okay. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you certainly for birthdays. So many of them mentioned here this morning, from 3 years old and all the way up to Idella's last week at 99. And we thank you for these lives, each and every one of them, Lord, and the joy they bring to us and give to us day by day. Father, as we live our lives, we thank you that you are our source and our provider. And in the midst of the situation with the prices of gas, which affects groceries and really every other thing around us, we just lift this up to you and ask for help, Lord, through this time. So we pray certainly for that, for the country of Ukraine and what's going on there. It grieves our hearts as we see the pictures. And Lord, naturally speaking, at times we feel so helpless, but yet we know that there is incredible power in prayer, in corporate prayer, as we come together now. As many have said, it's like the David and Goliath story that we know of through Scripture. But and Ukraine is as David, and we just ask, Father, again, as we do daily, for your divine intervention to help those people. Father. And we trust you for it, and we rest in you, for you are the sovereign one, and you rule. We know that you do, Lord. You see the big picture. We just only see day by day. But we pray against the evil and the attacks of the devil and the destruction that he is trying to do through this situation. Lord, we thank you that you are greater than all, and we know that. Be with the people there, and we thank you for comforting them in this time, in Jesus' name. We want to pray, Lord, for Pat Palmerville this morning and her family, and for Linda Brinks and her family, as they both had the homegoing of their husbands this last week. Thank you that you are the God of all comfort, and you do comfort us through these times and through your word, where you said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And we know that heaven is far better, and yet we still miss our loved ones and friends so very much. So thank you for walking with these families through this time. We pray for this lady, Liana, from Parkston, who had this liver transplant yesterday. Lord, you know her by name. We trust that things will go well, that her body will accept this new liver from the donor, and for your healing to work mightily through her being. Be with her husband and the four children and the challenges that they go through with all of this. We thank you, Lord, though, that this surgery was able to happen. I pray for Marilee's daughter, Glenda, with ongoing health challenges. We just lift her up to you. Thank you for being the strength of her life. Father, for any other thing that was lifted up that I might have missed, you heard. We pray for our troops as they serve you so faithfully here at home and abroad. For this time of year, Lord, when we need moisture, and you know that, and we trust you to provide. For those that are lambing and calving and all the craziness of those hours, be with them, keep them safe, Lord. For our nation, we ask for the outpouring of your Spirit every day. We thank you by faith for revival to this land. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, and Eric, yes. I forgot to mention Eric there. Cameron over there in Slovakia. We pray for him. I want to read from Psalm 118. Part of what we just sang, verse 26 and 27. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. For the Lord is God shining upon us. Bring forward the sacrifice and put it on the altar. Amen. Hosanna. Let's stand. We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer today in place of the doxology.
Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for such a beautiful prayer that you've given us to pray, to sing, to use as a pattern for our prayer life every day. And to you be all the glory and honor and praise and power, for you are God Most High. And it is our privilege, Lord, to bring our offerings and our tithes into this storehouse as an offering, a sacrifice of praise to you, the first fruits, for you are our source and our provider. And because you live, Jesus, we can face tomorrow. Because you live, all fear is gone, and we rest in your unchanging hand. Thank you for blessing these gifts for the work of your kingdom, in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess our faith together now through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. If the children would come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Good morning, boys and girls. How are you today? Good to see everybody. Whoop. Come on up. Wow, wasn't that a cool song that we sang there a bit ago? Hosanna, Hosanna, loud Hosanna. And that's what Pastor Mike said. He's going to talk about Palm Sunday today, but even though, is today Palm Sunday? No, it's not, but it's going to be coming soon. But he's going to talk about it, but I'm going to tell you about what I think it would have been like if you were a child right there in Jerusalem. You had heard all about, go ahead and sit down right there. Come on. You had heard all about that Jesus was the Messiah and he was coming. Just right here is good. Just sit right here. Okay, there you go. And you heard all wonderful things about Jesus. Remember? Jesus healed people. Do you remember that? And he multiplied food a few times. What are some other things he did that you might have heard about? That's what he did. Yeah, but not yet, though. Because remember, you're just a boy and a girl, and you're there, and it's Palm Sunday is what we call it. But Jesus is getting ready to come right into our town there in Jerusalem. You're okay right there, okay? That's okay. And he's going to be you've heard he's going to be the king, and he's going to be the deliverer, and he's going to help your parents and your family to get out of under Roman control. This is the Messiah you've been waiting for. He loved people. He put children on his lap, and he taught them, and he taught everybody about heaven and that they needed God in their lives. And then it tells us in Matthew chapter 21, verses 8 through 10, and it said that the disciples went, and they did what Jesus instructed them. They brought Jesus a donkey. They put their cloak in place on the colt, and they put their coats on this donkey, and then they put Jesus on this donkey. And then Jesus started coming in. So these kids knew this was happening. So you know what they did? They probably went home, and they probably went to their tree, and they pulled off some branches. Now, this really isn't a palm branch, is it? No, it's not, I'm sorry to say. One of my plants had to sacrifice today. That was the closest I could get. But these kids, they probably went and they got these, and people got these branches, and they started waving them when Jesus came. And not only that, they took their coats and they put them on the ground so that when Jesus came on the donkey, he would walk on that. And when they came by, what did they say? What did they say to Jesus? Hosanna, right. Praise you, Lord, Son of David. They sang their praises to him. They were so excited, and it was just a glorious time. All the group of people that were there were praising the Lord. If that was today, what would we say to him?
Hosanna.
Yeah, but what would you say in your own words like? Would you say other things? You might say that. Would you say, I love you, Jesus. You are cool. You are neat. What are some things we would praise him for? That he loves us. Today we would praise what you said, McKinley. Yeah, that he died on the cross for us. We would say, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for loving me. What else? Come on, you guys, you're quiet. What do you thank God for? Your families, your friends, your houses, for loving you, for protecting you, for giving you church and for giving you your Sunday school teachers. So many things we could thank him for. For giving us his word, right? But do we have to wait until Palm Sunday to do this?
No.
No. When can we do it? What?
Any day.
We can praise him and talk to him any day. Does it have to be a certain time of day? Does it have to be like just on Sunday? When can it be?
Every day.
During the day, during the night, you can thank him for helping you in school. Thank him for your friends, right? We can always think of something to praise him for. The sunshine, for healing in our bodies when we get owies and then we get healed, right? For answering our prayers. So many things. Especially in this day today when things are a little tough and things can be hard. We need to look for the things to praise him for and thank him for. And above all, like what was said, that he did come and die for us, right? And where are we going to live one day? In heaven. And that's going to be the most exciting thing ever. So let's think about that, because Jesus is there and we're going to live with him forever. Yes, we are. Anyway, so let's pray now, okay? Ready? Fold our hands, close our eyes. Father, we just thank you that you've given us certain days that we celebrate certain things, but we thank you that we can praise you every single day. All day long, we can think of you and praise you and thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. Thank you for these boys and girls. Thank you, Father. They're just such a blessing to us here. We love them so much. They're so full of joy and energy. Help them wherever they go this week, whether it's to the daycare or whether it's to a school or whether it's home or wherever they're at. Help them to tell others that you love them and help them to have a joyous spirit every single day praising you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can get your papers.
Thank you, Anne. Let's sing number 296, Hosanna. Your name with hearts full of praise. Let's bow in prayer, please. Father, we do shout and sing Hosanna. Jesus, you are the King who rode into Jerusalem on that day. And we know that. And you are the King who is going to return in great power and glory, riding on a white horse when that day comes. Father, we thank you for the excitement of the season we are in, our Lenten season, leading up to all these events that we celebrate each year. And so, help us today as we listen to your word, an account we've heard many times through the years of our lives. But Lord, I pray that we would see maybe something in a different light than what we have seen before, that you would speak to our hearts and minds by your Spirit. And I ask that you'd speak through me by the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 12, we're going to start reading in verse 12 this morning. Last Sunday, we did verses 1 through 11. So that's why we're going on here. As I said at the opening, this is not Palm Sunday. I hope, well, Palm Sunday is April 10th, which this year happens to be Confirmation Sunday, which means no Sunday school. It means church starts at 10 o'clock. That does not mean you all stay home. Please. Let's have as many children there that they'll still bring the palm branches in on Palm Sunday. Okay? It's a glorious day. It's happened once before where confirmation fell on that day, and it just is how it is this year. I'm not going into all the details of that. But if we'd start, let me just back up to verse 1 for a second here of chapter 12, where we read, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, and there was a dinner given in his honor. So what's happening? They came from Jericho, which is about 18 miles from Jerusalem. I've told you the change in elevation in those 18 miles is 3,300 feet. That's quite a bit. Quite a bit in 18 miles. So they're going up to Jerusalem, and that is our theme through this Lenten season. They get there on probably Friday afternoon before the sun sets on that evening, because when the sun sets, Passover began. So that was a very subdued time. No work being done, just a day of rest through Saturday. Saturday, when sunset happens again, the Sabbath ends. So here's this big dinner being given in Jesus' honor. And last Sunday, we looked at the names of the people who were there in Simon the leper's house, Jesus' friends. He had friends. And we are his friends. He said in John 15, I no longer call you servants, but I call you my friend. That's so amazing. So let's start here in verse 12, all right? So it said, the supper, Saturday evening, and then it says, the next day, Palm Sunday as we call it, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him had continued to spread the word that he had called Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Amen. All right, here we go. Today I'm going to focus actually more on the crowd this time, taking a little different angle than normally we would. Again, we've heard the details of Palm Sunday, I would imagine, every year of your life if you've been in church. And you know it well. You should. But this crowd, this multitude here, it's good, it's exciting, but yet what we're going to see is not everybody in that crowd was genuine. There was some falseness to this crowd and what was happening on this day. Because we know many in this cheering crowd just 5 days later flip-flopped to crucify him, crucify him. The answer somewhat of this crowd comes from the Pharisees, who were Jesus' enemies. They hated him for what he was doing, and they were the ones supposed to be leading the people to God. And as I've said many times, they could not recognize God himself in the flesh, in their midst. They didn't see it. And what did they say, the last verse of our passage? Look, this is getting us nowhere. This what? They were trying to shut him down and his ministry. This is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. So the great crowd that's mentioned in verse 12 and this whole world that the Pharisees say in verse 19, those two words are synonymous as we're going to look through this here. Even in our day, as we live, I hate to say it, but if the whole world is going after Jesus without any acknowledgement of sin or repentance, there is something not right with that picture. There isn't. The world, as we read here, of course, that's the expression they're using. The whole world is going after him. I'm going to get into that more, all right? This up to Jerusalem, our goal is this Lenten season in each of our lives that we want to draw closer to him, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And always to do that requires us examining where we're at in our walk with him. So if you're filling in your outline, the question is, so what was the nature of this crowd? This crowd that was shouting Hosanna on that day. First, they were attracted, not everybody, but I have to believe a large part of them. They were attracted to the sensational. They were attracted to the sensational. Listen to verse 17 in our text. Now the crowd that was with him, when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. All right, that group of people, I would say most of them were probably genuine, truly followers of Jesus Christ, because they had no idea that Jesus was going to raise a man from the dead. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, it wasn't very long before where we're at here in John chapter 12. Two months before, it wasn't long at all. So those people had been following him for quite a while, listening to his words, listening to his teaching. A couple weeks ago, I had said, though, even if we go back to John 6, as Jesus is saying, "I am the bread of life, and you have to partake of me." And a lot of people couldn't handle that, what he was saying. And they left him. They left him. But here, this group is with him. They're following. That's verse 17, that group. Verse 18, there's a whole different group. Many people, because they had heard that Jesus had given this miraculous sign, they went out to meet him. Another translation says, for this reason, the reason of Lazarus being raised from the dead, they're going, wow, let's go see this. The sensational. They're after the sensational. Not really wanting to know what his message was. Not really caring about his person, his character, but only his miracles. And that's not good. It's not good. What would be an example of that today? Maybe somebody that is just praying so earnestly for God to answer their prayer in a certain way. A lot of times that would be for healing. Not always, could be many examples. And God doesn't answer the prayer in that way. And I've seen it happen over the years where that individual just gets very upset with God, actually turns from following him and wants nothing to do with him. So where was the heart? Was it truly with Jesus? No, it was just what he could do for them, the sensational. So this, as these two groups are coming, you have the group there up on the Mount of Olives, that's where Bethany is, where Mary, Martha, Lazarus, Simon the leper, they lived up there. You have all that group. They're there. They've seen what he did a few weeks earlier. They have spread the word about Jesus. Then you got the whole crowd in Jerusalem who has heard about Jesus and that he's coming, and they're going out, and you got these two groups coming, and this is a blank under letter B, and I know I got this flipped around, but just telling you, it's called almost, there's this mob psychology that's taking place. And the fervor and the excitement is just building and building and building till it comes, as one commentator said, it was like this spontaneous combustion. All these thousands probably of people shouting, and they're all joining in the excitement of it. Wah! And what are they wanting in their Messiah? They are wanting a political Messiah. That's what they're wanting. See, they're all shouting the right words. Hosanna, as I said from Psalm 118, there, verse 25, 26. They're shouting the right words. Hosanna, oh, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Yeah, he's coming. He can raise the dead. He feeds the 5,000 and heals the deaf and blind and crippled and on, and he can do it. Yes. But is that why he came? We know it's not, because we see the end of the story. But they didn't. They didn't. They didn't understand the prophecy from Zechariah there. They were going to cheer for him as long as he was going to do what they wanted him to do. As long as he was going to be who they wanted him to be. And that goes on through every generation. People want a Jesus. Oh, I want a Jesus who meets my needs, and I want a Jesus who says you can come to the Father however you want to come. That's the kind of Jesus I want. Surely that's the Jesus he is, because he's love and he is love. Oh yes, he is. But he also declared in his word there's one way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Why do I have to say that so often? Because the opposite is said so often. Any way you want to come, any way you want to come. That's the crowd. That's their, hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. But Jesus didn't say that. And the cheering stopped when they realized, this guy isn't doing what we hoped he was going to do. And a lot of the cheering turned to the shouting by the end of the week. Crucify him! He's a fake, he's a liar, blasphemer, and on it went. What was the nature of the crowd? First, as I said, they were attracted to the sensational. Secondly, they missed the point of his mission. They missed it. It's, you know, we wouldn't have maybe done any better. We read a lot about the second coming, about the rapture of the church, and as we understand it from Scripture, But there, I'm sure there's going to be details of it that we didn't see either exactly. Even though we preach about it, and I do, and I like to, but there's going to be things happening, I believe, that when we look back, we're like, never saw that verse of scripture related to the second coming. But God's word is so beyond our limited, finite minds. Sure, he gives us revelation by the Holy Spirit of God, and thank God he does. But John 12, verse 16, at first, his disciples did not understand all this. Well, if they didn't, the 12 that had been with him that 3.5 years, how was the crowd going to understand it? As we saw last Sunday, now Mary, Lazarus' sister Mary, she had more of an understanding of what was coming than even the 12. As she took that alabaster flask and broke it over him and poured it on his head and all the way down to his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And Jesus said, she did this for my burial, right? She had a sense. His disciples did not understand it. Only after Jesus was glorified, that's the resurrection, did they realize these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. So what? One of the things, what didn't they understand about his mission? Big part of it was, they thought he was just coming for them. We are here chosen people, and they were. That's who God made his covenant with through the Old Testament. He brought Jesus through that race of people, and they thought, we're it. We see. We're Abraham's descendants. We're saved. Hey, just because we're born that way. And he was trying to tell them, no, it is not that way. I'm telling you. They couldn't see that he was the Savior of the world. What else? They could not understand that day that he was fulfilling Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, when they were looking beyond that to the second coming, waiting, thinking he's going to come riding in Jerusalem on the white horse, overthrow the Romans, set up the kingdom of God on earth. That's where they thought they were at. Oh, donkey, big white stallion, not too much different. There's a big difference, right? But hey, he's doing it, so it must be it. They didn't understand that he's coming in meekness and humility on this day. He is coming as the Lamb of God to present himself as the sacrifice once and for all to take our sins upon himself. Something's wrong, point two, when the whole world has gone after Jesus. I said a little bit on that, even today. The news media, by and large, they are not going to follow much what we're doing. They're not going to follow much what I'm preaching, unless it's to, can you believe what that guy at Salem Reformed Church in Menno, South Dakota is preaching? He's preaching the only way to heaven is through Jesus. Can you believe that? Can you believe what he's teaching about marriage? Can you believe what he's teaching about these other issues? God created them male and female, period. Can you believe that? That's the kind of press I would get. When the world media of the world goes and promotes the church in a good way, it's going to be anything goes. Oh, anything goes. And Jesus was not that way. Herod. How about Herod? Your letter A. Here's just a couple examples. When the whole world has gone after Jesus, better watch it. Yes, we pray for revival. Well, I'll get into that in a second. How about Herod? Herod, remember, so we're coming here, Passover. Herod's in Jerusalem. Pilate is there because that's his jurisdiction. And this is coming yet after Palm Sunday when they arrest Jesus and he's there before Pilate. Pilate's like, you know, he hasn't done anything wrong. He has not done anything wrong. And then he hears, he's told, hey, guess what? Herod's in Jerusalem. Jesus did most of his ministry up in Galilee. That's where Herod's jurisdiction is. I'm going to send him over there. Let Herod deal with him. And so he does. And Herod the king in Luke 23 is excited about this. Why? Because he wants to see a miracle. That's all he wants. It says, when Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about Jesus, he hoped to see him perform some miracle. It's all he wanted. The sensational. Didn't care his message, anything else. And when Jesus wouldn't answer him a word, what did Herod do? Flipped and mocked him, whipped him, beat him, sent him back to Pilate. When the world, whole world, Herod would be an example, something's wrong, and something was. How about Constantine? Let's go back to the 4th century. Roman Emperor Constantine, if you know your history. So sort of good thing about Constantine, he was the first Roman emperor to confess his faith in Christ. But the bad part about of what he did then is he declared over the whole Roman Empire, made it Christianity from now on is going to be the state religion. That's who you worship, God, Jesus Christ. With some of the European countries in history not so long ago have done that. And dude, they got the state church. Some of those Scandinavian countries, the taxes even go to the church. Part of them do. When you got the whole government involved in the church, you know corruption is coming. And it has. History has shown it many times over. And it did with Constantine. As time followed before he died, they had to have a council there because of some issues. And some good things came out of that. But the bad thing that came out of it is this was a proclamation they made. I'm going to read it. Until Christ returns, the now Christian emperor of Rome stands in the place of Christ. And so he carries the power of God on earth. Wow. Really? Not good. Not good. And so the dark ages come and all of that. No, the church, we are to bring change to the culture in which we live. Because we're better than anybody else? No. Because we have the truth? Yeah. Yeah, we have it. Do we have perfect understanding of it? No. We try to live to it as best as we can. We are far from perfect. But the church is to bring change to the culture, not the flip-flop, as again we see so much today of that. The culture's telling the church what to do in a lot of situations. Last point here. What did Jesus do about this world crowd? He didn't just ignore it. He did what he did is what we need to do. Letter A, if you're doing the blank, he wept over them. On Palm Sunday, Luke's account, chapter 19, verse 41, as Jesus approached Jerusalem, this is Palm Sunday, and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, Jerusalem, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. And I've said this many times over the years. Here is the Prince of Peace himself getting ready to ride in Jerusalem. And yet he knew they were going to reject him in just a few days later. He wept over them, and so we do. That's a type of prayer where we can be grieved in our hearts so much that we weep over things we see happening around us, which leads to the very second thing, letter B, he prayed for them from the cross. Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And that has to be our prayer too. For our family members who don't know the Lord, don't ever give up on them. Maybe they don't want to hear you say a word about it. Okay. Then back off and get on your knees in prayer. Pray. And if there seems to be an open door at times, then go. Go into it. Share something. And sometimes you got it. Well, always we got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Maybe they've hollered in your face and said, I don't want to hear it again. Don't ever talk to me again about it. Doesn't mean you don't ever talk to them about it. You pray about the right time. But pray for the Holy Spirit's working. Weep over them. Over our nation we weep, for we ask God for revival. Revival is, I don't think, and I'm not God, obviously. It's not going to come through a president, I highly doubt, or a vice president. It's going to come by the Spirit of God through a grassroots revival. I think of the Promise Keepers movement back in the early 1990s. Well, that was an incredible movement of men, just led by a college football coach out there in Colorado. Incredible. But then, it had its time, and it's still, I think, in existence, but you just don't hear about it now. So we need those movements among men, among women. We need that. What did Jesus' prayer work? You bet it did, yes, from the cross. The criminal was the first one to get saved right there on the cross. Shortly thereafter, when the earthquakes and all that start, the sun is darkened, and at the noon hour of the day, that Roman centurion, who had probably one that whipped him and nailed him on that cross, said, surely this man is the Son of God. He saw it. How about you think how many of that crowd on Palm Sunday cheering him on, Hosanna? How many of those turned? I don't know. By Friday, crucify him. And yet 53 days later, a large part of those, I believe, on Pentecost Sunday were in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit was poured out and Peter gets up and preaches this incredible sermon to him. That's letter C, Peter. In Acts chapter 2, he's telling them, you crucified this man with the help of other wicked men. You put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But guess what? God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible. I love the last of that verse. It was impossible. Say impossible. Thank you. It was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And then you go to the end of Peter's sermon, and it says the people were cut to the heart. Like, oh, they saw it. What shall we do? And the answer was, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And guess what happened? 3,000 got saved on that day. And Acts 16, just in closing, time when Paul and Silas were in jail, and that whole miracle happened there. The jailer thought he was a dead man because he thought the prisoners escaped. And Paul says, no, we're all here. Don't hurt yourself. And that jailer falls down and says, what must we do? And Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So in all this, in the crowd, as we look at ourselves, and I don't think here we're attracted to the sensational, because, well, we're not really that style of worship. And I don't mean that in a wrong way. How do I get that right? Sometimes it can seem to be all just a big show, I guess. We don't want that. That gets into the sensational. We got to understand his mission. We should know that, right? We got to examine our hearts, though. Make sure our motives are pure as we follow him, as we draw close to him. Let's pray. Father, Lord, you know all of our hearts, inside and out. You know our attitudes. You know the good attitudes. You know our attitudes sometimes that just downright stink. Forgive us for that, Lord. Forgive us. Help us not to get into stinking thinking, but to follow you and your word. to be led by your Spirit, to pray for those around us, to weep over the sin that we see and intercede for the lost as you did, and help us to live for you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to sing as our closing hymn a song that goes with that. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. A beautiful hymn. Let's stand and sing this, please. Beautiful, beautiful. Please receive the benediction, and now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. As a prayer for our nation, we sing God Bless America. And I forgot to say thanks to Fred Seiler for playing along in the praise music, and he's going to play along on this. God Bless America.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Have a wonderful day. Thanks, Jennifer and Fred, for the music and the drums, and see you this afternoon.